Huge episode number 400. Obviously, as you guys can see from the title, we have the people's tight end and close friend of the podcast, George Kittle, on today. You're welcome. But it's also special for another reason. This is the first episode in 400 episodes that is basically entirely led by Kevin and Drake. Shout out to Gary as well. Please enjoy this conversation with George Kittle. Let's have a day. Let's go.
Hey, and with that, folks, we're back. This is episode 400 of the Friendship Podcast, and this is not washed up walk-ons. This has nothing to do with Iowa football. Boys and girls, we're back with one of our best pals in the world, one of the coolest cats, George Kittle. Welcome back to the podcast, man. Let's just have a fantastic conversation.
Wow. Forgot we were recording. What's up, boys? Kluver's missing, as always. Long snappers never practiced. Now the rest of us is out here trying to get better and execute on game day.
We're just trying to be great.
Man, just trying our best out here, aren't we, boys?
You know, and some of us are trying better than others, George. How's life, man?
Oh, well, I told you guys pre-show, I'm in the Bahamas currently. It's like 80 degrees and sunny with a nice breeze. I'm 10 feet from the water. I'm roughing it out here. I'm roughing it really. It's tough, you know, but thoroughly enjoying myself and, back in Nashville on Monday to get back to work for, some football and do what my job is, required of me.
All right, Tell these folks about Nashville, George, because I've like kind of given tidbits about how nice the whole setup is out there. Tell them about the new setup that y'all got out there. These people are going to shit.
Oh, boys. Well, so I live in Nashville, Tennessee. I think I've been on the show since I've been to Nashville, but I got an acreage outside of it, about 20 miles out of town. On it, I had a barn that was already on it. First floor is I redesigned it to be basically a weight room and a kitchen. Second floor is all recovery. I got massage tables. I got physical therapist tables. I got a yoga side all carpeted over with a bunch of toys on it. Up top, I have
recovery
technology called Vasper. I'm big into balance beams, that type of stuff. I don't know. The 49ers have a style of rehab called Egoscue. It's kind of like yoga. Easiest way to explain it, just kind of a body function, but just do a lot of stuff up there, like rollers, just some rehab stuff, really. My favorite toy is actually up top. It's called a Vasper. It's from California. It's a company out there. It uses blood flow restriction and ice water technology. It's like riding a recumbent bike for recovery. That's my barn. I got all the stuff, and I can send you guys like photos of it too if you want to throw it up on the pod so people can see it. But it's right now, I just actually finished about a month ago at the end of the season. I have a 40 by 40 yard turf field with my own personal Lucha Mask logo on it. I'm excited to do that. Now I don't have to leave my property ever to work out. And I'm, you know what, this is turf. I'm a big proponent on grass fields when it comes to football. So my thinking was I wanted to do a grass field. The maintenance of it for a year long for just me to run routes on it didn't make a lot of sense. So I wanted the safest turf possible. It was fiscally more responsible for me. And it's like, I'm not getting tackled out there playing football. So like, I'm not too, you know, I'm knock on wood, but it's pretty safe. But I'm also almost done with, I know where I'm used to it. And anyways, and then I'm almost done with my barn expansion where I'm like doubling the size of my weight room. Need more space, have some more guys in there to work out, whether it's Hawkinson, Tunyon, Trent Taylor. We got a squad. If Drake wheels his way back over, we'll work out with him again.
He will.
Fantastic workout partner. I know he will, but that's the setup. I'm excited about it. My favorite part, I got in the back corner of the whole barn outside, I got a full outdoor sauna, hot tub, ice tub, and they're all from the same company, so they're all nice matching wood. It's fantastic. It's like a little back patio just to get after it when I want to get after it.
Kluve, how much do we got?
Back patio. Oh, keep going, Kev.
Kluve, how much do we got in the Wash Up Walk On Fund, and can we build something similar of our own?
We're going to need to do a lot of numbies, and that is why right now I'm introducing Baby Kluver to the podcast. Everyone's wanted to see Kinley Kluver is going to steal the show from George Kittle here for a second. Ken,
get that boy on the field.
It's a girl.
Wow. Oh, my bad.
She can decide whatever she wants to be.
But as you can see, George, I have gone full bald now. And Kinley has my genetics, and so the hair is still coming in. But everybody on the YouTube, say hi to Kinley. We're going to try and take a nap, but I just wanted to say hi to George. I'm jealous as hell about your facilities. And if I go broke, I will be moving in on the property with my baby. So that's all.
That girl's just staring at the camera. That's hilarious.
I know. She's ready for prime time already.
You wouldn't be staring at Kluver either if you were his child, dude. I wouldn't look at him either.
George has put a mic in
front of her. She's ready to talk about the Super Bowl.
has Drake convinced you to roll around on the mat at all when he was down there?
You know, the only time I've seen Drake use his skills was actually at my bachelor party trip in Scottsdale, where one of our former teammates, Cole Croston, was like, dude, you can't do all that cool stuff to me. And then he did it to him right next to the pool on concrete and had that boy out of it in about 32 seconds. It's amazing.
Cool. I haven't heard from him in a long time.
I'll never forget that. That was really funny. And Drake was being nice. Drake was being really, really nice, too.
Had a smile on my face while doing it.
So you guys decided right then, and like you didn't take him by surprise or anything. It was like, let's just roll on the concrete. That sounds horrible.
I don't even remember how it got brought up.
No, I'm sure. I don't know. I don't know how it got brought up, but you were just talking about like some of the stuff you were doing, and you were showing Cole some of your moves, and Cole's like, I don't think that would work on me. And then it worked on him. That was pretty funny. I did not participate.
I told George we'd get him into it after his career. That'd be a fun post-career activity to take some time off his hands.
Well, you're going to go straight into from the NFL and the WWE, aren't you, George?
You know what, Kevin? All doors are open right now. I'm not going to shut any of them. We'll see what happens when we get there.
How insane is that to be able to say that all doors are open?
it's pretty nuts. I just I'm open to any opportunity that comes in front of me. WWE's fantastic. I'll be at WrestleMania in LA April 1st and 2nd, so I'm pumped about that. They're a class organization. They take care of everybody, so excited to go back there, watch some good wrestling. I'm actually really pumped about that. And at SoFi Stadium, it'll be pretty sick.
Oh, dude. Yeah.
George, are you still affiliated with the PFL?
I am still associated with the PFL, actually.
All right.
Whenever they have their stuff on ESPN, no free shout outs, but PFL. Big fan of that. I think it's a really cool way that they do like the UFC stuff, or fighting, I would say. It's just cool, like the tournament style stuff. It's pretty interesting to watch.
There's PFL on tonight. I got a buddy from Nashville that I trained with at Nashville MMA that's fighting for a PFL contract tonight. So call your boss. Let him know that we got to get the kid in PFL.
Oh, I can pull a string. We'll see what happens, Ben.
Nah, he's got to win the fight. Strings will be pulled.
Yeah. Good luck for him. What's his name? I'll be cheering for him then.
Shout out Zach Hicks of Nashville MMA.
Let's go, Zach.
I'm sure he appreciates that. So, George, going back to your whole new your compound, if you want to call it, what's a training day looking like for you in the off season? You know, obviously you just come off a long ass season, then you take a nice little well earned vacation for a little while. When you get back to it, what's a training day looking like for you? I mean, you got so many toys; it doesn't sound like you could use them all on the same day.
You know what I do? So this first week back. I'll start pretty slow, just getting back into things. Like when I start, when we start really going, we do Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, Monday consists of we work out in the morning, and then I got either linear speed on a Monday, so just power speed movements. After that, Bethard might come up, throw the ball. He's deciding what days he wants to come up, but we do like three workouts, so lift, run route, then recovery. It's going to be anything from the sauna stuff, ice tub stuff, to the Vasper, which I always try to hit. Like, I try to hit that 3 days a week because it's good for it's like a natural like just recovery. It gets your body going again faster. I know, like, what I've realized in the NFL is when you're training, it's not like how hard you can go, it's how you can be at like 100% multiple days in a row, like weeks at a time. And so you have to recover harder so you can train harder the next day. Because if you're training it, like, you know, we always heard the, you know, don't burn the, you know, the candle at both ends.
Yeah.
But it's really like somewhere in the middle there, you gotta put more into like your recovery time. That's something that I've learned the more and more I've been in the NFL. And well, you can train your tail off if you don't recover the right way. And then you do also burn the candle on the other end. That's when you kind of you fall behind people. So we got, you know, I specialize in that. I got a physical therapist that comes up twice a week to my place to do rehab on the guys. Massage therapist comes up on Wednesdays to do massage. Wednesdays are off day and kind of just a body maintenance day, some yoga. But you know, we're going from like 7:30 until noon every day, about 4 to 5 days a week.
Yeesh. That's stacking up some work.
I enjoy it,
boys. Yeah. No, honestly, no, I'm super jealous, man. There's nothing more I've ever wanted to do in my entire life than just every day devote myself to try and be the most athletic freak beast I could possibly be. And I'm so fucking jealous.
Dude, I understand that. And like playing in the NFL is every kid's dream possible. I mean, all of us that grew up, we're all going to be NFL football players. The fact that I actually get to do it, I'm definitely not going to squander it. You know, I've finished 6 years now. I'm going into year seven. And I'm going to continue to play as long as I possibly can, which is going to be a lot longer. But the whole point of the facility is, so I spend so much time working out that I'd rather do everything at my own place, under my own my own roof, kind of have my own rules and like kind of set the standard and set the culture of my gym the way that I want it to be set. Because you know, you can go other places and the strength coach might try to set the culture. You go in somewhere new and you try to do, you know, meet up with new guys. I like being consistent. I love training with Hawkinson and Tunyon. They're fantastic. There's a lot of, we've trained with a lot of offensive linemen in Nashville too, but we got a great group of guys and it's fun to work out with other NFL guys who are trying to be the best, because then you're pushing yourself against great athletes every single day and you're kind of not comparing yourself, but you're competing with them, which is really fun to do because the guys I work out with who are all super competitive and they all want to be the best. So you don't want to, you know, what was it? I saw a quote. It was like, if you're the best bullshitter of your friend group, that means you don't hang out with very smart people. And I was saying that that kind of goes line in line with athletics. If you're the most athletic person, then you're definitely not working out with the best athletes.
Yeah, but dude, so you are the most athletic, the best athletes, dude.
So other people can be. Well, I got to prove that every single day, man.
Yeah, but see, that's the thing. You did. You trained like an absolute psychopath. You trained like a on a mission. I'd never seen somebody just be so above and beyond. It's ridiculous.
Yeah,
Gary,
like I said,
Gary, man, go I'm ahead and mark that one.
Your boy's out here trying to be the best, man. I'm trying to, like, you know, I have goals. I want a Pro Bowl, All Pro. I want to score a lot of touchdowns. I'd love to, you know, at the end of my career, be in the Hall of Fame. And honestly, the most important thing is the Super Bowl. So I trained my ass off last year. Got close, didn't cut it, you know, didn't quite get there, but I really like the training. So just do that again, a little bit better, and go back into training camp this fall and be ready to roll and go win a Super Bowl.
So let's talk about the season, man. Going through three quarterbacks and you guys just kept winning. What was, honestly, really disappointing end of the season, I think, obviously from your guys' standpoint and from any good football fans' standpoint as well. Like, what was it like going from one quarterback, second quarterback, third quarterback, and then obviously at the end of the year you guys just ran out of quarterbacks? What was that like as a player on that team, especially on offense?
Well, so crazy thing here, Kev, is that so I played 6 years, 4 years I've had three or more quarterbacks.
Wow.
And then 1 year I had two quarterbacks, and 2019 is the only year I've ever had one quarterback.
Really?
So damn. I'm pretty used to multiple quarterbacks, whether it was Beathard, Mullins, Jimmy G, Trey Lance, Brock Purdy. So I've gone through a lot. We've had a lot of quarterbacks, and a lot of them have played at a high level for us. The one thing we're missing is definitely just the consistency, because the one season that, you know, we had a quarterback healthy the whole season, we go to the Super Bowl, had another chance in 2021. Jimmy was healthy almost the whole season, had to miss, I think he only missed one game. And Trey came in and won us, you know, played at a high enough level for us to win against Houston that year. And it was a must-win game for us to make the playoffs. So, like, he can play. Then Purdy come, and then this year you had the Trey Lance gets hurt in the second game. Jimmy gets us on a little bit of a win streak, gets hurt. Purdy comes in and just plays lights out and plays at a level, an extremely high level that, I mean, no one really foresaw. We definitely had, we had an idea of the way that Purdy could play. When you start 47 college football games, you kind of know how to play quarterback, and he's a pretty good athlete. So smart with the football, didn't turn the ball over a lot, and he made a lot of great plays. So it's fun to be a part of an offense like that when it's just clicking and you can just kind of rotate guys in. However, I would love to have one quarterback next year. I think that would help a lot.
I don't suppose you'd love to give the listeners a sneak peek at who you'd want that to be.
Who I want it to be?
Yeah.
Whoever's going to throw me the football and win games. Those are my two things I really like to do. I like catching the ball, and I like winning. So the great thing is we have all of our skill players back. We have a really high powered offense. We're going to still have Nick Bosa. We're still going to have Fred Warner. Hufanga was an all pro this year at safety. Like, we still have guys, Charvarius Ward at corner.
Is Trent Williams back? We still have
really, really good depth. Yeah. He's got another year or two on his contract.
Okay. That dude.
And he's like the greatest. He's the best football player I've ever been around. Him and Nick Bosa are like the greatest athletes I've ever seen. So that's pretty, it's pretty fun to play next to guys like that. So like we have all the weapons. And you talked about, like, you know, we actually had four quarterbacks this year, four and a half. You know, we go through Purdy gets hurt in the Eagles game. Then Josh Johnson gets a concussion. He's out the whole second half. And we had Purdy without an arm. Those are quarterback the whole second half. So we had four and a half quarterbacks, I think, that season. So
did you ask Coach Shanahan at all if you could take some snaps at the end of the Eagles game? Cause you had literally no one that could throw the ball left.
No chance. I would have nothing to do with that, man. All I know is whoever is back there had a target on their back because they know that we couldn't throw the ball, and I wanted nothing to do with it.
I think we all really wanted to see Christian play for quarterback.
Huh. Dude, McCaffrey's fantastic. He could throw the ball a little bit, but it's just tough, man. Like, you kind of prepare for that a little bit, but it's like you don't expect losing two quarterbacks in 27 minutes of football. So it is what it is. It's tough, but, you know, that's just kind of life. Sometimes you just get dealt a shit hand, and you got to go with it. And sometimes you lose, and hey, how do you pick yourself up and bounce back?
100%. I mean, that's just a hole that I don't know if there's any team that's ever existed could fight their way out of, though.
Yeah, it was a fun, who was Shanahan told us. So he's been in coaching, like, I want to say close to 20 years now. I think close to 20 years. And he's never seen it. His dad, who coached for a long time, Mike Shanahan, mm-hmm. Hall of Fame coach, never seen it. And then we have a running backs coach who's about in the year 60, and he's never seen it in any level either. So first time in like 60 plus years that, you know, besides like the Broncos had to do it during the COVID when all their quarterbacks had COVID.
Oh, but yeah, like that's least, right.
But they had a couple days to prepare for it. So it wasn't like they just got to the game and then they lost them then. So, yeah, it's wild, unheard of. It is nothing I can do about it. So, you know, I played as best I could, but it's hard to contribute a lot when they have 11 guys in the box and you can't throw a football.
Yeah, I mean, I know Coach Shanahan gets a little creative in the run game, but there's really only so much you can do at some point.
Yeah, you got to have the threat of pass to be able to open up those lanes.
Yeah.
Man, isn't it nice to not have to listen to my voice for the entire episode? Even I enjoy that. Well, you didn't completely escape me as I am popping in here to quickly tell you about our sponsors, because of course, Kevin, Drake, and Gary forgot to put in a good word about the pork producers, specifically the Washington County pork producers, or just in general, the idea that you guys should be eating more pork. Now, for those that really keyed in, we got our pork producer gift boxes, whatever you'd like to call them. They were stacked with gear and merch from the pork producers. And boy, the walk-ons could not be more thankful. My brother ate all of my pork sticks. I didn't even get a chance to try them. They're that tasty. They're that good. Pork is that good. And good for you. I've had how many grams of protein today? I don't know. Some of it was pork. Started the day off with some bacon. Been adding in some more spaghetti carbonara in my life. And I like using bacon for it. So there you go. There's one way to implement it. Pork chops, ribs, all the things that we talk about on a daily basis or on a podcast basis when we bring up the pork producers. And shout out to The Apron as well. For those who are watching the video version of this, you can see the pork producer branded apron behind me in the visual now. You guys should be eating more pork. It's that simple. Washington County specifically, one of the best pork producing counties in the entire United States. Shout out to them for being sponsors and friends of the podcast. And now back to the show with George Kittle.
Talk about Coach Shanahan a little bit, like his offense. What, you know, you guys obviously have a lot of weapons and he's a pretty smart guy. I like the way he designs some plays. Talk a little bit about what it's been like learning from him and, you know, the way he runs his offense.
You know, the longer I'm in the league and like the longer I get to play with Kyle, because his first opportunity as a head coach was my rookie year. Like I'm his first class. Just seeing how it's evolved since I've been here, it's been really kind of special to be a part of. It's trying to take it just looks completely different than it did back then. And it's really cool too, because it evolves every single week too. Like he always goes back to, you know, we focus on running the football. We run a lot of outside zone, running off the football. Not a lot of teams do that. We're really good at gap scheme, so power and all that, the pulling guards and stuff like that. We do that really well. And so when you can run the ball the way that we do, you get all these fun play actions and bootleg keeper stuff like that. And just like every week when you go in, you have all the installs. And then by the time you get to Friday, he kind of has like a tape of like, this is why we've installed these plays, and this is how we're going to attack them. And so like, you have a really good understanding of why we're doing what we're doing. Hey, it's because the way that they pressure with their ends, they always come flat down the line of scrimmage and run away from them. So you can, if you cut them out a couple times and they bring it even harder. And then the next time you're setting them up for like a reverse around the edge, because their ends pressure so much and they don't go after the keepers and stuff like that. So like he sets things up, and then there's plays that he might call a run play three times in the first half just to set up the pass play once in the second half. And if that play, which it usually hits, it goes for like 30 yards or a touchdown. And so you see that all the time. What was it? Seattle, Debo had like a 75-yard touchdown on a shallow on a play action. And we just kept running outside zone, and our receivers were cracking down on the linebackers. And so they thought it was that again. Everyone overran the run, and Debo's caught the ball in the flat with no one around him. And so just the way we set guys up, it's really fun to be a part of that. And what Kyle does best is he does a really good job of putting guys in an opportunity to succeed. Like he doesn't ask anybody to like do stuff that they can't do. So I got like, hey, what he wants to do, he wants to get Debo running a slant across the middle of the field or a shallow running across the middle of the field, because if he gets the ball running, no one's going to bring him down. He gets up, he sets up all these cool routes for Ayuk, because Ayuk's a very, very good talented route runner. So like he might have a couple crossing routes. Hey, he's going to run two slants, and on the third one, he's going to run a double move, and he's going to kill the guy on it because he runs routes so well. And so he just sets everyone up. And then once we got Christian McCaffrey too, man, the stuff that he can do out of the backfield and then like in the slot, as even like along with running the football, he's such a talented football player. And he completely changed our offense when he got in there and got comfortable, because he could run outside zone, he can go gap scheme, and all of a sudden you're lining him up in the slot and he's running 10-yard basic routes or he's running slant routes from the inside and no one can cover him. And he had all these routes that were like cool stutter move and go from the backfield, and guys weren't like understanding how to cover it, and he'd just be open. He had an awesome touchdown against Buccaneers like that. But he's such a talented football player, and you can't double team anybody, because if you leave Christian McCaffrey one-on-one with a linebacker, hey, good luck. We tried to do that at Iowa in the Rose Bowl, and that did not work out very well for him.
Well, that's a great transition. Hold up, Kev, because I was literally about to ask you if you had ever taken the time to just be like, hey, Christian, we just really didn't appreciate it, and it was uncalled for what you did to us that day.
No, it's so funny, because he's in the locker to the right of me, and so we talk all the time. And He's awesome. He would fit in with all the boys. He's great people. High character guy. But he always just laughs. He's like, "Yeah, it was like one of my favorite games because I just cooked you guys." And I was like, "Yeah, you did." I watched the whole thing from the sideline. It was pretty amazing.
Now, did you ever ask him, man? Because I know all of us were having trouble with our cleats in the field. And he just looked like he stuck his foot in the ground and go. Did you ever ask him, like, what fucking cleats were you wearing that day, dude?
You know what? We didn't have the answer. I'll ask him and I'll get back to you on that because he's very specific with his footwear. And so I'll ask him, see what he was wearing. But no, like he never even brought it up. He was just like, yeah, no, that was like just a field day for me. And I was like, yeah, it really was, Christian. You're welcome.
I think he set like 3 or 4 records as far as yardage goes. So yeah,
Total yardage. He broke it by like over 100 yards. He had like 450 yards by himself. Like on.
I don't think he played the fourth quarter.
Yeah, he didn't even play the fourth quarter. Like if he would have actually played the whole game, I think they might have put 70 on us.
Was your dad part of the Rose Bowl team back in the '80s?
He was when they lost to Washington 28-0, I think.
Yeah. So my dad also played out in the Rose Bowl in the 84 Rose Bowl, and they lost like 43-9. So just not a whole lot of good juju in this whole podcast about going out to the Rose Bowl for,
we got to change that up. Next time we go, Hawks are going to win. It's okay. You know, we're starting to win some bowl games now. You know, that's what matters, being up on some SEC Pac-12 schools. So that's kind of fun to see. You know, just get us back into a big bowl and, you know, we'll show out this time.
Absolutely. How many Hawkeye games are you making it back to? Like you ever come back for a bye week?
The last one I made it to was 2019 when they beat like Middle Tennessee, like 50-10 or 50-7, something like that. But besides that, no, I've actually been really unlucky. All of my bye weeks since then have either been, they've all been on the road. So like my bye week, I was gone. So I wish, but unfortunately not. But I always look at this, whenever the schedule comes out, that's one of the first things I look at to see if it's reasonable for me to make it back to Iowa and show up for a weekend and have the boys out there. Cause I remember a couple of years ago, there was like a couple guys who had a bye week when it was like Iowa Penn State night game at home. And there were like 10 former players back, and I was so jealous because my bye week was like the week after that, and I missed out on it.
Oh, but yeah, I do remember. There's a lot of guys in town.
Yeah, you had like Ike was back, Josie was back.
Pete and Marshall were back too, I think.
It was a good time.
That was a fun day.
Yeah, I missed out on that. I was preparing for a game.
Yeah, you know what? You're doing all right.
Yeah, you're not wrong. I'll get back to some Iowa games at some point. I'm not worried about that.
Still keep in touch with LeVar?
Oh, yeah, me and LeVar, like probably once a month, twice a month. He came out, they played in their bowl game, and he flew direct to Vegas and came to my my Niners Raiders game with his daughter. And so that was pretty fun. I got to see him after the game and hang out with him for a sec, but he's fantastic, dude. I'm really happy he's still there because at some point he'll be a head coach somewhere. Just such a good person. He's a pretty good inspirator too.
Oh God. He's a first class human being. I fucking love every time I run into him. It's
George. Do you know Casper?
Maybe. I don't know. Who is it?
If not Kevin Casper, he's real good buddies with Coach Woods, and he's a dude that thinks a lot like you. You and him are wired very similar. You'd get along real well.
I think actually he played at Iowa, right?
Yeah. And then he played down in Arizona here for 8-9 years, something like that.
Yeah, dude. I've definitely met him before. Yeah. I've definitely met him before. He's good people, but that might've been several years ago when I was still in college or something like that. But I don't mean like when guys come out of Iowa, almost all the time you're getting a good dude, especially if you've gone through 4 years of Iowa, you kind of you're pretty grounded and you're pretty humble. And so you kind of most of those guys are, you know, first class citizens.
The program does a good job of humbling you. That's
it beats the ego straight out of little shithead kids, man.
It does it because if you don't let it, you don't survive it. And then everyone, like you leave or, you know, you bail out of it. And yeah, you know, to each their own, it's not for everybody. But it does the formula does work. It gives you a really good shot of being a normal, average 2 to 3 star football player and having a shot at the NFL if you can survive 4 years.
You'll probably do a decent job in corporate America too. I don't know. So I've heard.
Oh, that was funny.
I got jokes every now and then. Drake isn't the only funny one on this podcast.
But Kluver is, we can all agree, since we got everybody but Kluver here, that he's not funny at all.
Man, he's got a one line every now and then.
He's a dad, man. He's just a dad.
Now,
oh my goodness.
I was hoping that was going to go a little more shit on Kluver session, but here we are.
I can't, dude. I'm too nice, man.
You can only shit on him so much, you know. Like sometimes the joke's just up, you know.
You can only make fun of long snappers who practice like 20 minutes a day throughout training camp and throughout the season. You only make fun of them so much, you know, like, you know, having to only do one thing all the time. It's, you know, it really wears on those guys. You don't want to make fun of them too much.
George, do you want to consider learning long snapping and then, like, you know, when your body can't play tight anymore, you know, just play another 5 years as a long snapper?
Potentially, but I think I'm, you know, if I play my cards right, I might have better options instead of long snapping for like $1 million.
Imagine George blows through all of his coin and has to take up long snapping to pay the bills.
You know what? I'll tell you this. I would go after every tackle on punt. I would go after everybody.
If George ever became a long snapper, I'd still draft him in fantasy because I know Shanahan would draw up some fakes for him.
I'd get in the red zone, some goal line packages. Hey, that's actually funny. We had a long snapper. His name was Kyle Nelson. And I think he was like year 7 or 8. He was like year 7 or 8 my first couple years. And earlier in his career, he had to win. I think it was the number 3 tight end job. The Texans brought in like a couple long snappers. And they're like, whoever wins the number 3 tight end job will be our starting long snapper. So he had to do all of training camp as a tight end and take
reps
and block defensive end. Yeah, he won it. He actually scored a touchdown in the preseason and he won the job.
Holy shit. That's pretty
insane,
sweet,
man. Insane.
Yeah, I know. Well, granted, he's like 6'4", 235, and like is a stallion. So like he was a big long snapper. He was a good athlete as it was. I think he played tight. He played like wide receiver tight end at, was it New Mexico, Claire? Kyle Nelson was in New Mexico State. Yeah, I think it was down there. But yeah, he was a dog. But that was always, when he told me that story, I was like, that's actually crazy. Like, cause I couldn't imagine, like we've had like 4 or 5 long snappers on our team. I think, our one now we just re-signed. He's good. Only problem is he went to Michigan State and we played against him in the Big Ten championship game. So he always reminds me of that once in a while. And I'm like, oh, thanks dude. You're the best.
But, just remind him that he's a long snapper. Tell him to shut the fuck up.
Oh, I do, trust me. No, he's good people though. Actually, it's funny. He does like a side hustle of opening Pokemon cards and like he resells them. It's actually pretty interesting. That's like That's such a big thing these days. And so it was funny. For my birthday, he got me a couple packs of like really nice Pokemon cards. And I pulled a card that was worth like $80. And he was like, oh dude, I'll sell it for you. And I was like, thanks, man. Hey, happy birthday to me.
It must be a theme that the long snappers just all have some weird fucking quirky hobby too. Like, you know, Kluver is big into YouTube and Rubik's Cube.
Yeah. So, yeah. Well, like I will say this, like, especially at this level, you only go to so many meetings. You can only like meet so much about special teams. And like our staff does a fantastic job. I love our special teams coach is fantastic. He has a great time out there. I know all the boys love him. But like you only do so much, but like those guys do have a lot of time on their hands. And so like I think if I was a punter, kicker, long snapper, I would definitely be invested into something else, like just my time and effort. Cause you're at the building still all day. So they're there almost as long as we are. Maybe they might leave like 30, 45 minutes early because they don't do the last meeting of the day. But they're still there all day just sitting there while we're in meetings. So it's like you want to do something instead of just sit there on your phone and scroll Instagram.
Yeah, I mean, you only got so much time in the world, right? You might as well use it effectively.
I'm surprised all teams don't just have their special teams units creating small businesses together. Just all long snappers, punters, and kickers just investing in businesses together and shit.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, washes. I mean, you got Robbie Gold. Like, you know, he's a vet. He's been around a long time. So, I mean, they hang out. Who knows? They could have some ventures together. They probably do, those guys. I've been trying to convince Robbie Gould for the last couple of years to come back to an OTAs practice. And then literally all I want him to do, I want him to like put his, get like a reclining chair, get a six pack of Bud Light, and just sit out there and drink beers while we're just practicing OTAs football.
No free shout outs, Bud Light.
Oh, yeah. Wait, did I throw that in there? My bad. Company man, can I just can't stop.
Shout out to it.
Oh, man.
What do you got for him, Kev? G-Money, you ask him a question, dude. You were hyped to talk to George. Give us a question.
Yeah, I can ask a couple questions.
Please.
So, yeah, George, so Drake here told me a story. I think it was the second
You're
time
You're going to throw me under the bus immediately? What the
fuck? I'm telling you a Drake story. You don't know what the
kidding.
Story is.
I'm kidding.
You don't know
bro.
What the story is. But Drake told me a story of where Kirk Ferentz had a Pullman for a meeting because he was concerned he was doing like illicit gambling activity. Do you have any meetings with KF that were interests like that or where you might have been in trouble?
You know what? I kept my nose pretty clean at Iowa because I tried my best to not get in trouble because the second you made the shit list, you were on it for a long time. And so I didn't have too many meetings with KF. My one interaction with them, I mean, I had plenty of interaction with them, but like one that was kind of funny was actually my official visit. Cause I didn't get offered until signing day. So I didn't have an official visit until after I had already signed. And so they brought me up there, during spring practice. And I watched like two spring practices. My cousin Henry was a tight end there. So I hung out with him. And then Kirk brought me into his office with my parents. And he was like, yeah, we're talking, you know, excited to have you here. You know, Kirk was my dad's O-line coach at Iowa. And so they had a relationship, but he's like, yeah, you're going to be number 46. All right. And, I had a good story about that, but, I just can't remember right now. So you're just going to be 46. And yeah, that's that. I was like, sounds good. Number 46 looks great on a tight end. Let's go, coach. Thank you.
So you were number 46 because Kirk thought of something that was funny to him and he forgot about it.
Yeah, and he still hasn't told me. It's been 10 years. He still hasn't told me yet. I'm like, all right, Kirk, can you remember sometime? I'd love to know.
That's a phenomenal story.
That's fucking hilarious, man. I was always a little curious about that.
No, man. And then I think the one time I tried to change it, they were like, no. And I was like, all right, sounds good.
So then, what else you got, G-Bone?
Yeah, I got a bunch of questions. I don't know how much time you guys want me to give here, but so they also said that you were an unreal Halo player, that you would just show up and kick these guys' asses in Halo all the time. Is there any skills that you might have learned from Halo that transitioned to the NFL?
What a question.
I love that. The skill that I learned from it is that in football, violence is usually the right answer. It's one thing I've taken to heart, but yeah, no, I used to, I was big into Halo 3. Like that was like my first person shooter game I got good at. I spent a lot of hours on it, like way too much time on it. I have a Master Chief tattoo on my forearm because of it. But yeah, no, I would swing through over there. Like, I think I had a couple classes with Josie, who was their roommate. And so like before I'd either pick him up or I'd drop him off and I would either come, like I would show up early or I would show up late, and I would just, if they were playing Halo, I'd just hop on the sticks and I would 1v2 them or 1v3 them. And I would just wreck shop with them because I was pretty talented at it.
Yeah. I remember one time it was you're 1v2 and me and Kluver, and we were playing like 25% gravity, 300% speed, and nothing but rockets, unlimited ammo. Some of the most intense Halo I've ever played in my entire life.
Dude, you play it on, it's, what is it, the Stand Trap? It's like the biggest one. It has the elephants around the map. There's so much space. If you go too far out, you get hit by rockets, and it's like, but you're so fast, you can avoid them all. It's so much fun, especially like when you get a headshot. Oh, dude, it's so much fun. Yeah, it was snipers and rockets, and then like you could pick up gravity hammers. Just so diabolical.
Yeah, and then we were playing another one time, 1v2, and you know, it was kind of close, but I think Kluver had like a 1 in 8 game, and that's why we lost. So I'm going to throw Kluver under the bus on that one.
It's probably like 1 in 25.
You still play Halo at all? Or,
No, like I'm like halfway through the campaign. I'm on and off of it. I really like the new campaign. I haven't really gotten too much into the multiplayer. The really all I play online right now is I play a ton of Rocket League, and I play a little bit of Call of Duty.
But now, let's not leave it out, though, George. The most important one. Let's talk about it. Clash of Clans, man. What's the new attack? What are we liking? How are we feeling about Town Hall 12? Oh, you're a 13 now, aren't you?
I might be 14, man. I'm on the green one.
You dirty bastard.
I know, man. It's still fun, dude. That game is incredible because I started the first time I downloaded that game. I was sitting in the basement of 830 Miller next to Connor Kornbrath, and he's like, "Dude, you should download this game." And so I've had this game since my redshirt freshman year of Iowa, and I took like a 3-year hiatus my first couple years in the league, and then I got back on it, and we saw it our clan. And the only reason I looked at it again was because I hopped on it one time, and I saw Kevin was still playing it pretty hard. And I was like, dude, I can't leave him out to dry. And then I just started kind of got back into it. I play that. Clash Royale and Clash of Clans are two of my favorite games. They're so much fun, dude. It's such a riot.
You're a real one for hanging in there with me. And yeah, actually you helped grow the clan a little bit. We've got a few members from around the NFL. We need one more to get a 10th person so we get some 10v10 wars in there.
Yeah, so hey, you know, shout out to all you listeners. If you play Clash of Clans and you think you're good enough to help us win some war battles, hit us up in the comments. We'll have some tree outs for the boys, and see who can be our 10th.
What the fuck's a tree out? All time scene, man. Great callback,
dude. Me and Claire just watched Longest Yard. It's one of her favorite movies.
I showed Kaylee Longest Yard for the first time ever like a month ago, and she was on the floor.
I forgot how funny Chris Rock is throughout that entire thing.
All the caretakers.
Oh my gosh, he says some things that are so outlandish, dude. I was crying laughing. It was so funny.
I got a bird. His name is Ronnie.
Oh, here's a quarter pounder for you. Pulled a quarter pounder out of his pants. Dude, think about that too. That what a cast too. They had Michael Irving on there. They had Nelly at running back. They had Goldberg, Stone Cold Steve Austin. Like they had so Adam Sandler quarterback.
Who's the great Khali?
Mm-hmm. Dude, they had so many fantastic they had the perfect cast for that movie.
Joey Diaz.
How am I just realizing that was Stone Cold Steve Austin?
Yeah, what? Dude.
I'm just now realizing that. I never had realized that before.
I know, man. It's hilarious. He's the guy that I think I made him poop his pants. That's him.
That's incredible. Yeah,
I know.
All-time movie. All-time movie.
Grant, what else you got for me, man?
Yeah, so I was a little. I was listening to some other interviews you did where you were advocating for multiple bye weeks in the NFL. Do you think there's ever a situation where like the Players Association could ever get that in motion, or is there anything that maybe fans don't know about players trying to get that going?
You know, it's something that I kind of just throw out there. It makes sense to me. 17 football games is really difficult. Staying healthy is difficult in the NFL. It's honestly a lot of luck. Like if you just take a weird hit, I've had injuries before where I'm blocking and the running back jumps through the hole and his foot clips me in the calf and I have a deep calf bruise and I can hardly walk for 2 weeks. So it's just like, you have stuff like that, that there's not really anything you could do to control it. Like it doesn't matter how much workout, like how you work out in the off season, doesn't matter how great of a camp practice you have. Doesn't matter how consistent you are. Like stomach can just fall on you and it can like ruin your, it can either ruin your season or it can like ruin, you know, your next couple of weeks and it can prohibit you from being at your best. So my thing is if you just add an extra bye week in, then the season, it's already at 18 games with one bye week. It's at 18 weeks. And so then you could just throw another bye week. It'll be 19 weeks is another week of football and the players are healthier and the players that you want to see every Sunday who are getting you all these fantasy points, they're going to be out on the field and have a higher likelihood of being out there because their bodies are going to be healthier. So it just makes sense to me. Just start the, like, you know, it can go another week. Like we're already, the Super Bowl's on Valentine's Day as it is. So I think I'd be okay with one more bye week. Like just have one early in the season, have one late in the season and let guys be healthy.
I mean, the stretch from February to August when we get football again is just too long. So just throw four bye weeks in there, man.
Kevin, you took that right off my brain. I was about to say that football fans would give you 10 bye weeks if you'll play 25 games, and then we just get football all year round.
Oh my gosh. I don't think my mental capacity, man. Like I said, I'm sitting in the Bahamas right now, not thinking about football. So I don't know how 25 weeks of football would go for me.
Right. It'd be miserable. But
dude, if you started though, like think about it. If you start like July, I flew out July 24th. First day was July 26th. So you have all of August, September, October, November, December, all of January. So if you're in the playoffs, like you're playing 6 months of football.
It's insane.
And then you go back out. Then you go back out for spring football, and you're there April, May, half of April, all of May, and half of June.
Yeah,
it's wild.
I mean, it's absolutely disgusting. I just remember, you know, week eight in a college season, like just limping down the hallways, like my joints are creaking going out to practice. You're like deep into the teens of NFL football. I mean, is practices just walkthroughs at that point in the season?
It's crazy. Like I've only been with the Niners, so like this is the only way that I know how they practice. And like our practices have changed over the course of my career. You know, my first couple years we were a really young team and we practiced like hard throughout the entire season. The last couple years, like Wednesdays, we take off Wednesdays depending on the game and like how hard it was and the injuries that we have will usually be like a walkthrough tempo, or it'll be like you run routes on air full speed and some like on air stuff with the quarterback full speed. And the second you get the team and install stuff, it's all walkthrough.
Sure.
Or it's like at your pace. Like if you want to run a full speed route, you can, but it's not required. Thursdays are all like, those are, we put pads on. You have like, I think it's, what is it? It's like 13 or 14 padded practices, which doesn't sound like a lot, but like when you do it once a week, it does take a toll on you, but you kind of get used to it at the end, but they take care of us. Then Fridays is we do one live period. That's it. And then three periods of walkthrough stuff, just like, you know, sharpening the tools a little bit.
Sure.
So like they do a really good job the longer the season goes, but yeah, like the first 6 to 8 weeks of the season, you're doing Wednesdays are full speed, Thursdays are full speed, Friday's still the one period of full speed and three walkthroughs. But like it's a grind until you get into the season.
I mean, yeah, but you know, the way you just described it makes perfect sense. You have to, especially now with like, there's less time in camp. They got rid of two-a-days, right? In camp and
they did
in the NFL too. Yeah. So you got to use like those first 6 weeks to continue to improve, especially like the younger guys on the team, because you just can't keep wearing the treads on the tire in the back half of the season, because you just need guys to be healthy. That's got to be the most important thing.
It's whoever's the healthiest going into like the last couple weeks of the season and the playoffs, that's usually who wins. So, like, exactly. If you have a really healthy team, because, I mean, like, 2019, we were rolling, and then we lost one of our starting D tackles to an ankle injury, like, week 8 or 9, maybe 10 or 11, and then we had to put him on IR because we needed to bring someone else in. We couldn't bring him back off of IR because we'd already used our IR spot. And so, like, he was healthy by, like, week 16 and would have been able to play the whole playoffs, but we couldn't use him because of the IR spot. Which is another thing. I think you should have unlimited IR usage. But I get, you know, teams would probably abuse that if they could. But that was like, we kind of did that for COVID. You could have unlimited IR spots. So like a guy had COVID, he'd go to IR for a week or two and then he'd come back. And so they let that happen with hurt guys too, which I really liked. But it's just, yeah, it's hard to stay healthy and you can just lose guys. And when you lose key pieces, it's just a complete game changer, man. Like when you lose some of your best players, like there's just nothing you can do. We lost Nick Bosa for a year, and that could completely change our entire defense.
Yeah, I mean, there's some guys that just aren't replaceable, right? Just like
there, yes, there's a lot of guys that aren't replaceable, and yeah, you know what, guys kind of step up too. Like you've seen guys get. We had Trent Williams missed a game. Was at 2021. We had a must win game at against the Rams in LA, and our backup, he came in and he played at a high level, and he played at a high enough level for us to win. And so like you want guys to show up and make plays when they have their opportunity. But, you know, I would still, like, love Colton to death. McKivitt's great. He's going to be really good for us this year. But, you know, I'll probably take the walking Hall of Famer Trent Williams over about anybody.
I don't know if I've ever seen a 300-pound man get out and move quite like Trent Williams.
Dude, he's the fastest big guy I've ever seen, but he's also the strongest. I saw this guy, his warm-up on bench, I'm pretty sure was 3 plates. He just put he just put 3 plates on 315 to start his bench. And then he did a squat one time where he walked in and he literally put on, he did sets of, he did, was doing sets of like, what was it? Sets of three, I think. And he got up to 650 pounds. And just to prove a point, he did 10 reps of it, racked it, and then walked out of the weight room. Like, it's just, it's like weightlifting's not fun for him because
it's just, yeah,
like
it's
not how much weight do you want to, how much weight do you want to put on the bar? Like him doing three reps at 650 is not doing anything for him. He's just so much stronger than everybody else. So it's just like, how do you make things like that entertaining for me? He's like, he's really the greatest athlete I've ever seen.
Life's just not fair sometimes. I mean, is he, so like we've talked about it a few times on our podcast about like the freakiest guys that we played with at Iowa. Is he like your top freakiest guy you've ever played with or seen in person?
Yeah. I mean, I don't think
is anyone close. a second close.
Like just freak athlete type of stuff. Yeah, he's insane. Trying to picture some of these. Oh, Chandler Jones is one of the freakiest athletes I've ever seen. The D end. He's crazy. He's just an alien. He's got those go-go gadget extender arms. Nick Bosa, dude, like that guy, for how strong he is and how well he moves is also crazy. Like he can be up the field in two steps and then duck down underneath you and get like, he can, you know, like rip through the off the lineman, like, and he'd be like touching blades of grass as he gets around them. Like he's such a freak. So like, just like, yeah, those two are both phenomenal. And then I played with Christian McCaffrey and I saw him do things that I've never seen before. So that was pretty cool too. I have a bunch of freaks on my team.
Yourself included, man. Yourself included.
You're not wrong.
Who do you put on your Mount Rushmore of favorite teammates in the NFL?
Ooh, what is that? So I need to give you four?
Yeah, top five, top three. Tell me however many. You got some guys you love.
Now, these are like my favorite teammates ever.
Yeah, just favorite teammates, period. Just like this is a dude you want to be around on your team, your friends, da-da-da.
Oh, that's okay. Favorite teammates all time. Number one is Garrett Celek, tight end from Michigan State. I played with him for 3 years. He played 8 years at San Francisco. He was like my big brother, took me under his wing, taught me the ropes, kept me alive, dude. Like, I don't know if I'd be me if it wasn't for him, especially my first 2 years, like how he helped me like mentally and like just his approach. Like he's the happiest. He has the best energy I've ever been around. And so like, he kind of taught me to have that energy and just be really appreciative and happy every single day because we're playing a kid's game. And so he's my favorite teammate. Close second, Trent Taylor. We came in together. We were drafted both in the fifth round. Quality time. Missed him. He's in Cincinnati now, but we live in Nashville together, so I still see him and train with him. But he's definitely one of my favorite teammates. We had so much fun. We lived together for our rookie year was me, Claire, and we were just dating at the time, Trent Taylor, and then JP Flynn out of Bettendorf, Iowa, you know. How funny is that?
Off shout out to Popes.
Yeah. And then he's now in Montana. I think, he was the Bobcat up there in Montana. So fantastic. Montana State. I should get that right. He'll get mad at me. But that was a fun time. So me and Trent, we came in together and just we're together all the time, 24/7. Let's see. Another teammate I've loved, Kyle Juszczyk. Our fullback, our Swiss Army knife. He can do anything. He's awesome. He's really cool because he's a Harvard guy, super intellectual, and you can have like any conversation in the world with him. But he's also a total nerd and he loves Pokemon just like I do. Like we play Pokemon on all the flights together. We'll trade Pokemon, stuff like that. So like, and then our wives are best friends, Claire and Kristen Juszczyk. And they do everything together. So it's fun that our wives are really good friends and we can be great friends. And then our dogs are best friends. So that's always really fun. Another teammate who's one of my favorite teammates all time. Holy cow. I'm going to have to go with you guys got me. I'd have to go with just right now, looking back on it, having CJ in the locker room for 4 years was an absolute blast. Cause like we'd been through it all together. We helped each other out. The amount of plays we made in practice together, in games together. It's just fun. Someone like that, who I definitely consider him a brother. Just being able to work out with him the entire offseason, go to training camp with him. Like that was what was so much fun about the Niners early on was me, Trent, and CJ all lived in Nashville, and we trained together like every single day. And then we would just go into training camp and OTAs and stuff and train together more. So those are like friendships I could really grow. And what I've realized, it's harder to make like a lot of great friends now because a lot of guys are only there for 1 year, 2 years max. And dude, it's crazy now. I'm 29 years old and our rookies are like Trey Lance is 21, 20, he's 22 years old now. And so it's just like all the guys are 7 years younger than me now. And like, I definitely, I'm friends with everybody. Like Brock Purdy's 22, 21. Yeah. He's young too. So it's just like all the guys coming in are all rookies and you're friends with them still, but it's kind of hard. Like, but you still try your best to, you know, spend time and, you know, create relationships with everybody.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy, right? You got some guys that are just coming out of college and you got some grown-ass dudes with families and shit, like with like 10-year-old kids.
Dude, it's that part. It's wild. Yeah, we have like, we have guys all the time that like, they'll bring their, throughout the spring especially, they'll bring their kids in and hang out with them. Like Robbie Gold has 3 sons. Oh, yeah, there's a baby. She got her down for a nap. Good job, Kluv. I will not scream.
Yeah, but, it took 45 fucking minutes, huh? Welcome to parent.
Oh, hey, Kluv, and we're hopping off. See you, everybody.
Yeah. No.
Nah, I'm kidding.
Continue.
But yeah, no, those would be my 4 guys. Selleck, Trent, Juice, and CJ. Those are 4 of my guys. And like, you know, just to put it up there, you know, some honorary guys. DeForest Buckner was one of my favorite teammates. Just an absolute stallion. Massive human being.
Massive. Just, when you see him in person, it's alarming. It's like it takes your breath away when you see a human that big.
Dude, it is crazy. He's just absolutely moosive. Just absolutely one of the biggest human beings. And he's like, my favorite thing is too, he's a kid. Like I'm a year older than him, and he's been in the league a year longer than me. So that kind of messes with my brain a little bit. But like he's such a stud. And so I was disappointed to see him leave, but you know, that's football. Trying to think another honorary, I'll give you one more.
Nice little KF, that's football quote right there.
McCaffrey is slowly becoming or quickly becoming one of my favorite teammates. And that has to do with,
he's a shark, dude.
Yeah, he is. He's incredible. He's got a great mindset. Like his mindset of football is literally like, I'm going to be the best football player on the field every time I touch the field. And that resonates with me. Cause like, you want to be the best if you know, that's your goal. And so for him to do that every single day is awesome, but he's funny as hell. And you get to hang out with him once in a while. I've known him since like 2018. So that's been fun to get to know him and have him on the team. Him and Mike McGlinch, he's up there too, just to be with him for the last, we've been together for 5 years. So that's been really fun too, just because I line up next to him every single play and to run outside zone with him. And he's really good at that. So that's been really fun as well.
Kluver, you got a question for our guy before we let him go enjoy his vacation?
Yeah, I don't know if obviously what's been talked about and what hasn't. On the
best spot to vacation, go.
That's a great question.
That's a good question for George because he's been a lot of places probably.
Claire, where's your favorite place? Her favorite place is Italy.
I knew she was going to say that.
Italy's pretty awesome. Drake, Claire laughed at you because, yeah, that's funny.
Where in Italy? Because awesome. Me and the fiance are thinking about that for our honeymoon.
Oh, dude, it's awesome. You know where you're going yet?
Nothing.
I went to Rome because I'm big into like I really like man-made objects, and so like the Vatican was something I really wanted to see, along with the Colosseum, and those both completely blew me away. And like
was the Vatican's art collection pretty alarming?
Holy cow, dude! It is just everything there is it's priceless, man. Like. What there's like what's the square called, Claire, with all the statues up top?
St. Peter's Square.
Yeah, thank you. St. Peter's Square. And they like we had a tour guide and he was like, yeah, like a lot of these statues, like when the first statue was done, like two to three generations of sculptors did this. And so like almost everyone that worked on this never saw it completed. And I was like, that's insane.
That's wild. My one question before we let you go is on the outside of the football stuff, the endorsements, sponsorship deals, you're doing fucking WWE commercials with the Kingsman, grill pellet, whatever with Hawkinson, and you've got your eyewear brand and all this different stuff. How much shit do you say no to, and how do you manage all that? Because you're the top of the top now. Like you're the fuck. Like I think the last time we had you on the podcast was right before we signed the big second contract, and you're like you ascended to
potentially America's most popular man.
One of, like, seriously, I mean, you're in the Mexico NFL world, you're like number one. People love you. Like, you turn into a superstar. And obviously, we just know you as, you know, good old George Kittle in the Clash of Clans war, 5v5. We need one more, by the way, to start 10 man wars. You have all the opportunities in the world guaranteed. Like, what company wouldn't want to work with you? I imagine the agent has a lot to do with this, but how do you turn down stuff? Say no. What's your criteria for that kind of stuff?
I have two forms of criteria. One is Claire, and that's most important. If she likes it, she gives it the yes or no. And then, really, I have a great marketing team. Rubicon Sports is based out of New York. I met them after my first Pro Bowl, after my second year. We kind of started then, and it's kind of grown with them. But they're kind of my filter. Everything that I like, I'll get Instagram requests, and I just like, I send them my guy's email.
Yeah.
But like, they represent a ton of players. They represent a ton of sports, like, personalities. So they do a fantastic job. But they kind of like anything that they think I am will be attracted to, they'll present it to me. And then they do a really good job with terms and like hours of like what they can use of me, because you know, once I do, like, it's awesome. Like, I have a Bud Light deal, which is fantastic.
Yeah.
I have a Gatorade. I'm a part of the Gatorade family, which is a dream. Like, that's so cool. They, like, Gatorade's one of the coolest companies I've worked with. Like, they just take such great care of me. I'm working with Exmark lawnmowers. How fun is that?
Yeah,
like,
the lawnmower endorsement.
I get these huge lawnmowers that, you know, for my big acreage in Nashville. But I know Zinni with the sunglasses is awesome. And I do have an opportunity with all these cool partnerships. And so I don't want to sign contracts with so many people where I have no time for my own off season, because that's like the time you do a lot of the stuff, whether it's a photo shoot, a video shoot, product, stuff like that. So we're kind of at a good spot right now. You know, there's, you know, potential. Like, I just signed a Chubbies deal, and dude, I used to wear the Chubbies.
I saw the Chubbies deal, and I was so jealous, bro.
It's crazy. No, I'm just hanging out with them. I literally just a couple days ago had a design thing with them. We're doing like a fall collection, and I'm very excited about that. Like, they're giving me a lot of creative control, which is really fun, because I think of a lot of fun stuff sometimes, a lot of crazy stuff. So they've been a blast to work with, but I just have all these cool partners I get to work with, and I try to give them all of, like, every time I meet with any of them or do anything with them, I try to be at my best, because, you know, one, they're paying me for it, but two, like, I want to be a part of these brands. That's why I want to give them my best. But so I try not to get too watered down, and I, you know, try to stay, you know, in each, let's just say, cylinder of like opportunities. So, you know, whether it's sports drinks, clothing, footwear, stuff like that, like, I don't try to overlap that stuff. But
yeah,
it is it's a little bit of a grind, but I wouldn't trade it for anything, because it's so much fun, and it provides so many fun opportunities for me and Claire.
Yeah. I mean, and it's helping you. I mean, obviously those have to be lucrative financially too, to be worth your time. And it's helping you build the life that you guys get to live, which is really dope. So on that note, how much do we fucking owe you for this appearance? I mean, I feel like we are going to have to empty our bank account for that. I think we're fucked.
No, all that's required is for Drake to train with me again, because he's such a good workout partner. And I need that crazy person next to me every day wanting to front squat next to me and then throw up on the way home.
I think,
dude,
I think,
it happened too.
Yeah.
Fucking I think we can manage on the way home.
I think
I'm coming out, dude. I'm on my way out.
I love it. The barn's open to everybody, boys. If you want to come get that work in, I'll have you sign a waiver, and then you can work out with me.
Let's do some CrossFit, huh?
No fucking chance, Groove.
No cross. Hey, who sponsors the barn? Who do we got?
Techno
for the
Gym. Big shout out, Techno Gym. Yeah, that's just
Techno Gym. Thank you, Drake. That's been one of the coolest partners. They're actually one of the reasons I went to Italy last year. They're a company based out of Italy. If you guys are ever traveling, Kevin, like, when you go to Italy, you'll see their stuff in every hotel. Like, they have luxury equipment. But they also have a sports side. They do all the equipment for the Olympics all the time. Oh, it's like super sciencey, super forward thinking in the strength and conditioning side of it. Like, I have all these insane treadmills, machines that like calculate. Like, the treadmill literally has two treads on it, one for your right foot, one for your left foot, and you can do a test and it'll tell you how much force you're putting to the ground with each foot and what the percentage of strength is, how different it is between each step. And then when you start to fatigue, so if you're doing a sled push for 30 yards, you started to fatigue at 25 and your right leg basically went limp. And then it can like tell you how to fix that stuff.
Jeez.
So it's like, it's so far ahead, and it's really cool to be able to work with them. They have provided me with all of my equipment in the weight room. And they're coming big again when this new place is finished. They're going to hook it up. I'm getting double the squat racks. I'm getting all these new machines. I'm going to have a facility that could literally train like 8 to 10 guys in a group with plenty of excess space.
Whose soul just left his body?
I'm going to take you up on that offer. I got to come check.
Yeah, we need to come down. Fucking.
Yeah. Why don't you just swing through for tight end you? Washed up walk-ons take tight end you. Who knows? We could do an interview live from the field or from the barn.
You got a date set for that yet?
Dude, we're there.
June 20th.
June 21st and June 22nd. You guys could come up like before that. We could do something on that Monday or Tuesday, and then you guys could hang out probably all week. It'd be pretty fun.
Fuck yes.
Well,
in. Done.
Hope my wife doesn't have anything that weekend because she's watching the kids. the kid. Well, thank you, George. Obviously, we appreciate it. You're on fucking vacation and you spent time with us. So we love you.
I love you, boys. You guys are adorable.
Last question. Are we cutting the hair anytime soon?
Claire, are we cutting the hair anytime soon? She says no. Whatever the wife says goes, boys.
That's facts. That's facts.
Hey, thanks for having me on. Much love, boys.
See you, George.
I love you. Take care.
See you guys.
Episode 400, the one and only.
It was a banger, and Clue, you'll enjoy listening on the backside of things.
I'm excited. Did we get good audio through the whole thing?
We got good everything.
It sounded
good.
Fuck yeah, that makes me happy because baby girl was not cooperating, so I kind of figured it would go that way. So I'm excited to listen to it. This will be the first episode I have to go back and listen to in like a long, long time. So appreciate you, boys. Hey, thanks for listening to the show. If you want more, you can check us out on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube by searching Washed Up Walk-Ons. And if you're interested in supporting the show, head over to patreon.com/washedupwalkons where you can find bonus podcasts, merchandise, and other cool perks. Best part, half of your subscription benefits the kids at UI Children's Hospital. We'll see you next time. Hawks by a million.